Call us today at 231-818-8349.
Under attack, time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. Tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into hour number two here on this Tuesday, 9/24/24 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us in this segment every Tuesday is Ian Murphy, the owner of the Iron Pig Smokehouse. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Trucker Randy.
Hey, I wanted to ask you for this week to begin this short segment. Basically, again, for a short update of the new location. I've had like 30, 40 people since last week, since we actually going even back further when we announced the new location being added. People are wanting to know if they're going to be able to hold any outdoor events there this fall. They have some family reunions that they were talking about. People are saying that they are looking for kind of an outdoorsy type of fall color situation, even though, you know, the leaves are probably going to be gone, perhaps, you know, most of the color is going to be gone. But, you know, as we go through the last week here of September heading into October, and you are trying to get things done over there, is there any way you think that you might be able to facilitate outdoor events there at the pavilion?
Yeah, I don't see why not. The real question is, for those that would be interested, is whether or not we will have our liquor license in the next couple of weeks. That's really what's driving them. So there's two things that are driving our opening date and then a grand opening date. We've talked about having to add and pave a bunch of parking. It's looking like that is what's taking the longest. The Liquor Commission seems like they're on their way, so we're hoping by the end of October we'll have our liquor license and be able to do parties. But for those that don't necessarily care so much about having beer or alcohol at an outdoor event, we can do that just about any time here within the next 10 days. What we're trying to do right now is get everything put together so we can book events for next year. Because September usually is a very busy time for weddings, for fall weddings.
Sure.
so we tend to do a fair amount of those. So we want to start actually booking this venue out for next year. So we're trying to get it in shape to do exactly that.
Okay, so the food operations will come first. You'll have things up and running there. You'll be able to open up the restaurant portion. Just perhaps without the liquor license will be the first, if you will, soft opening is what you're saying.
Yeah, and see, what's interesting is, you know, we've got our current location downtown, so we can cater. So even if our kitchen isn't open at the new location, which the health department is awesome to work with around here, which I know sounds kind of crazy since we're suing the health department, but the actual the actual people that do their
food
jobs,
portion, right.
Yes, actually, everybody at the health department on the local level is really awesome that I have to work with, or get to work with, depending on how you want to look at it.
Sure, sure.
So they've kind of assured me that it should be no problem because we're not doing much different at the new location than what we're doing here. So it won't be such an arduous process to license that kitchen. But let's say for some reason we don't have a piece of equipment that comes in on time. We can still cater inside the restaurant or in the pavilion. The difference really is whether or not we have the liquor license to be able to consume alcohol on the premises. And we don't want to step on any toes if we don't have the price, the premises licensed to consume alcohol at that time, that we'll probably hold off on that portion. But we can do barbecue there today if we wanted to. If somebody said, oh, I want to have a family reunion this weekend under the pavilion, give us a call, shoot us an email, we can absolutely make that happen right now.
Yeah, especially because you never know, we could have rain, you know, set in, and that roof of the pavilion would help protect people. So
if you don't like the weather in Michigan, you just wait 10 minutes.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. We're going to hold Ian on through the break. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today. Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
See it all around.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Staying on through the break is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse over in Gaylord, soon to be two locations. Greatly appreciate him being on the show. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about is the rally that was held in Lansing last week. Save my MI tips. T-shirts, signs. They lobbied legislators. Republicans showed up. The Democrats did not, while in Lansing. And what is going to happen come February, based on the way you see things right now, based on the Michigan overreaching Supreme Court, in my opinion, doing things that they were not legally obligated or capable, I should say, of doing. They did, changing basically the law coming up on February 2025. How is this going to impact, and what are you hearing? I know you are involved in this and listening to many associations and different groups. What is your impression, your takeaway right now as of basically a few months before this goes into effect?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll tell you, I wasn't able to attend the rally in Lansing the other day, unfortunately. Opening up a second location is taking a bit of my time, but I did hear there was a decent turnout. I believe they did, cancel the session for that day. So,
yes.
Nothing really happened. My senator did reach out to ask if I was going to be at the rally. Because there was no session that day, she was thinking about coming home. So she was asking her constituents if any of them were going to be there. Unfortunately, I was not able to make it. What it sounds like, okay, so looking at everything in its totality right now, in my opinion, what we're looking at is another gigantic intrusion into the free market, if we can even still call what we operate in a free market. 2020 and the mandates, the government jumping in, shutting down, doing certain things, requiring certain things, that to me is probably the biggest government intrusion and overreach in my lifetime. That's all I can relate to. I do know a little bit of history, but since I've been in business, that is the biggest government intrusion. Now come along 4 years later, and we have this bill that was basically legislated by the Michigan Supreme Court instituting these raises in minimum wage, which I'm fine with, removal of the tip credit, paid sick leave, and all these other things. This is a huge intrusion into the free marketplace. This is not what many of us signed up for when we got into business. When we signed the social contract to get into business and join the free market with a business, with a painting business, with a flooring business, with a restaurant, with a retail outlet, when we put together business plans, they're based on certain numbers, right? You own a business, you know this. Now these business plans are being upended, not just because of the minimum wage, not just because of the removal of the tip credit, not just because of the paid sick leave and the cost of having to track and accrue and pay that out, and not just because of the employee can no call, no show for 3 days, and the employer cannot release that employee. All of these things combined together are a huge intrusion on the small business owner. And honestly, on the big business owner too, but we know big business can absorb the majority of these costs at scale, right? Those of us that are $5 million and under, which is what is considered a small business by the government.
Sure.
This is what they are doing, is they are now, for the second time in 4 years, they're coming in and coming after under the guise of we're trying to lift up the poor people, the working class, allegedly. That is what they're trying to do. And you see the organizations that are pushing this, and it's not very many citizens, in my opinion.
Well, here is to expand on what you just said. Small business owners, when we lay out our business plan, when we say, okay, this is the way we're going to choose to operate our business, to go into business originally, to make that, like you say, that commitment, investment, the money it takes to open a restaurant or a radio station or whatever, it takes decisions based on the laws, regulations, zoning ordinances, the things that you know are fixed and are in place, that's when you make that decision. How long have you been in business in the Iron Pig?
Over 7 years.
Okay, those decisions you made 7 years ago. I have a very simple question. Who was the governor 7 years ago?
Yeah, well, was it Rick Snyder?
Yes, sir. Who was in control of the House and the Senate? The Republicans.
Yeah, the Republicans.
Well, guess what? You made those calculated decisions to open your business under those sets of rules, regulations, guidelines, all of it. How much has it changed in the last 7 years since you opened the Iron Pig?
Oh, drastically. Incredibly. I mean, all of our core costs are up. The supply chains are maybe just getting back to somewhat normal. And then we have this, right? And on top of that, the numbers that we get from all of these other organizations, 40% of restaurants, I probably say this every week on the show, 40% of restaurants as we talk right now are not profitable in Michigan. What do you think this law, as it's going to be implemented right now, what do you think that's going to do? Of course it's going to drive up menu prices. Of course it's going to cause changes in service, restaurants to close. That's just the reality. I mean, that's not me saying this. This is the restaurateurs that are being surveyed about this nearly on a daily basis. They are the ones telling us this, not just me, right? So
yes,
you kind of have to listen to them. And then the other part of it is you have to listen to the people, the employees that they're allegedly trying to help. And in my estimation, what we've found through these conversations we've been having, for every dollar that the government is trying to increase the quote minimum wage, it's taking $1.50 to $1.75 out of servers' pockets. Any tipped employee, right? Bagger, hairdresser, any of these people, they want to raise that minimum wage up to eventually $15 plus an hour, $20 an hour, honestly, if they had their real way.
Sure.
That's what they want. And you know what? I'm okay with that. We don't pay anybody minimum wage, right? I don't have anybody that's entering the marketplace in my business. That's what it should be, is an entry-level wage, not a minimum wage, not a livable wage. It's time to get back to reality on some of these things.
They were those jobs in at minimum wage were designed to basically be a resume starter. 100%. It was young kids in high school. I did it. You did it. We all did it. Okay. We started working at a very young age. We didn't expect a living wage back then. We just simply wanted to be able to say, I have worked. I have work experience. And this is where I worked at for a half a year or whatever. And as you got older and more responsible and showed that you're always on time and you did a good job and you got a great recommendation from your previous employer, that's how you moved up in the world.
Exactly.
That's not what they're trying to do.
Right. And that's the other biggest argument that I make for people that really don't understand what's happening with some of this, specifically the removal of the tip credit. To me, that is taking away the meritocracy of the entire thing. When you allow an employee to no call, no show for 3 days and an employer cannot release them, that it basically, to me, that is no longer an employee that is at will, right? The majority
Absolutely.
Of W-2 employees are at will employees unless you have some sort of employment contract, right? So that to me is the removal of that at will employment. So that means now I'm going to have to basically take on an extra 10 to 20% in labor to cover an eventuality of one of my employees or potentially two of my employees that come the end of the year, if they don't use it, they lose it sort of situation with their paid sick leave. What do you think is going to happen in December? All of these employees that don't use their accrued paid sick time are probably going to be using it. I have to pay them. Then we have to pay to replace them as well. So I'm paying double the labor, essentially. So
yeah,
it just doesn't make sense. And to me, the people that are trying to push this and that have passed this, right, these Supreme Court justices,
yeah,
none of them have operated a business.
Yeah. Well, and the other component to this, again, which is what your fight has been from day one, going all the way back to the China virus situation with the health department, the attorney general, the governor, et cetera, government overreach in areas that they do not have any authority with regards to our state constitution. I would go so far as to say even our current laws that are actually on the books, decided by, like you say, unelected Michigan Supreme Court justices that never operated or owned a business. To my knowledge, I agree with you 100%. They don't know what they're basically doing, but yet they're going to put a ruling out like this.
Right, and it's as simple. So I was a guest on a show called Buds in Reality yesterday, podcaster out of Detroit. We shared it on our Facebook page today.
Yeah, and I saw it. Yeah,
we had a great conversation, and it's as simple as this. In Article 3 of Michigan's Constitution, Section 2, this is what it said. I will read it verbatim. This is what it says. The powers of government are divided into three branches, legislative, executive, and judicial. No person exercising powers of one branch shall exercise powers properly belonging to another branch except as expressly provided in this Constitution, period. What's that? Two sentences right there. Articles 4, 5, and 6 go on to enumerate what powers are vested in the legislative, executive, and judicial, right? And they're as simple as this. Here's an example of the legislative power. Except to the extent limited or abrogated by Article 4, Section 6, Article 5, Section 2, the legislative power of the state of Michigan is vested in a Senate and House of Representatives, period. That is one sentence.
Yeah.
One sentence. The state of Michigan is vested in a Senate and House of Representatives. Doesn't say it can divest. It doesn't say it can divest. And that's what they did in 2020. And now here in 2024 with the Michigan Supreme Court is the judicial branch did what the legislative branch should have done. And back in 2020, the executive branch wrote a law which the legislative branch should have done after 28 days of using the Emergency Management Act. Randy, it's that simple. Three sentences that I just read to you. I don't know why these people need to make this so difficult. No person exercising powers of one branch shall exercise powers properly belonging to another branch except as expressly provided in this Constitution. Period.
Yep. End of story. Checkmate. Absolutely. And then let's factor this in. The people, the actual workers that they are passing this and implementing this affecting don't want it. Talk to any waitress. Talk to any waiter. Talk to any cook, dishwasher. I don't care who it is. You guys as a team, you know, put the tips in the tip jar. Individual tips for the servers. Bottom line is they make a heck of a lot more money on tips than they do with a stupid minimum wage.
Yeah, and I always say this. People want to come after me. I'm tired of subsidizing your employees' wages. That's not what this is about. You're not subsidizing anything. What you're doing is you're tipping to ensure proper service. That's the meritocracy that I'm talking about. It is that simple. Stop effing with other people's paychecks.
Yes.
I know you want to be so virtuous and you want to help out the working class and the poor. Guess what? These people are making in excess of $25 to $35 and sometimes $45 an hour with the current system that they have. And you're talking about reducing that to almost half of that. That is just insane. I have yet to meet a tipped employee that was